Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth. This is a real treat. We have a full house, and I am excited to chat it up with Nicole DePalma, Dr. Andrew Lallier, and Barb Odman, and they are going to talk to us about a really nice partnership that they are forming in hopes of really helping our health, mind, body, soul, and I'm all about that. Let's start it out with our friend Nicole, because Nicole, we've known you forever, and I'm really happy for you. You are here, and you want to tell us about a new move for your business.
Yeah, it's just kind of an interesting story of how we all wound up together. I think that's what's so fun about this, Mo, is kind of a serendipity thing, and Barb and Dr. Andrew will be happy to, you know, step right up to the plate about how we all kind of combine forces. But I think the neat thing about the three of us is that we're all coming from a place of wanting people to feel their best, do their best, just be as well and as healthy as they can be. And the fact that we all kind of circled in together, and then Dr. Andrew had this space for us to come into his building, has just been a lot of fun. We're looking forward to working together.
Well, Nicole, I know that you, of course, have been in this world for a long time. I was going to say forever, and that was not nice.
Well, it feels that way. It's okay.
You can say it back to me.
Yeah, we can say it. Sure.
For a long time.
Long time.
Yes. And so you have learned so many things, I bet, over the years. And when you first started out helping people, what was that like versus what is it like today? And how has your metamorphosis as a person affected the way you help people?
Well, when I started out, I graduated with my first degree, it was ballet. And so I started teaching ballet. And then, of course, aerobics came along, you know, feel the burn. And what was happening then is that people were coming up to me saying, well, what about this and that, meaning like physically, you know, with anatomy and physiology questions. And my ballet background gave me a good eye about posture and that type of movement. But when it came to the science of it, I knew I didn't know enough. So then I had to go back to school and get another degree. And then I found out I still didn't know enough. And then I still had to go back to school and get another degree. So what I've found since the 70s until now is that we're looking at a more holistic approach, I think, to wellness. It's not this pound, pound, pound like I came up with. And also ballet has a lot of contraindications to it. So now we're finding that, how does a person really move? What are the real issues with somebody? And that's how I've changed over the years with, say, Pilates, the massage that I do, the therapeutic movement that I do. So it's evolved over time, but in a good way. We pay more attention to what a person is presenting us instead of in a class and kind of, you know, with ballet especially, you're kind of living up to an ideal or a form. But nowadays, it's not so much that way. It's what about the individual?
And I also think back to, the 70s. I was lifting weights because my dad was an athlete and he thought that was great for girls. But really, that was kind of unheard of for women and girls back then. And I bet you have seen the importance of building strength, especially in women and especially as we age.
Amen. Because we want to live longer. We want to live longer well. And there's a little acronym now, ADLs, Activities of Daily Living, Activities of Daily Life, you know, to be able to combine fitness, if you will, with being in your everyday world. You know, the difference between being able to reach up and get that can of peas on the top shelf or to pick up something off the floor. And I'd like to think that that's what we're all about, is how do you live well today and moving forward?
And, you know, those are things that maybe some of our young listeners don't really appreciate, but we do have to keep ourselves flexible just for some of those daily living things. And it makes our life so much easier if we keep moving, right?
Yeah, got to do that.
Yes, I'm in awe of a lot of people that I meet that are even up into their 90s and are still going to the Y. I mean, that is so motivating and so impressive. And guess what? They're the type of person that I want to go visit with and talk to, because they're interesting. They're not sitting on their chair crabbing about their aches and pains. I mean, we all have aches and pains. I know you certainly do.
Yeah, but this gentleman works on me. This lady works on me. And between our philosophies, we just keep going.
Well, Dr. Andrew, let's bring you in here, please. So you obviously work on people and try to get them healthy in a different way. Explain, please, what you are thinking about when it comes to health and wellness.
Well, I maybe haven't been doing things as long here as some of these guys, but I think it's been about 20 years, and I've utilized different modalities to help people.
And what does modality mean for people that are listening?
Well, like what tools we would use with someone. It's
okay.
Always a tool. We're trying to teach someone to do it for themselves, whether
yes.
that be understanding what we need to be eating, what we need to be around, what we need to remove if there's a problem. So I'm a chiropractor, but I only use that as one tool. I'm an acupuncturist for the last 21 years. I do.
Okay, that fascinates me.
Yep.
Totally fascinates me. Is it as painful as I am imagining?
No, not at all. Like most people, actually.
How can that be?
Well, it's they're very, very, very thin little wires, and it really doesn't feel like you're getting poked with a needle.
But you know what's so cool about that quote-unquote modality is that that's something that's been around since ancient times. And I love to see that we are embracing that in today's culture because it really does work.
Sure. I think like anything else, the proof is in the pudding. People will try anything.
If they're in pain, yes,
yeah.
Absolutely.
And that's kind of when you were asking the question to Nicole earlier too, how our approach has changed over the years. And I know for me, I like to educate and talk to people about everything they need to be looking at. But at the end of the day, it comes down to when people are ready. And when people hit the wall and have enough challenge that they're willing to change, then big changes happen for them. It's all about what we've been through, and if enough is enough, we're sick and tired of being sick and tired, we're willing to change our diets, change our routines, and then big things happen. Because it's usually just the patient that does it all.
But you know, a lot of times it shouldn't come down to that, should it? Wouldn't you be happier if people approached their health and wellness from a young age? And I don't even know what young is anymore. But even if we embrace it in our middle age, wouldn't that make your job better and happier?
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Yes. So is that the mental piece? Are you seeing a mental part of this as well?
Well, so my philosophy on stress is that it is physical, chemical, or emotional. And emotional stress will get you as much as any physical stressor.
When you say that, what do those three things mean, please?
The stress that we experience in life sometimes is chemical from our diet, from things that we're around.
So how does that work? What does that mean?
Your body has to process stress. The stress may be a chemical stressor such as too much going on in your life and your cortisol is pounding, your catecholamines, which are the stress neurotransmitters, are creating an inflammatory response. The same thing happens when we've been hit by a car. The same thing happens when we are angry at someone for a prolonged period of time. It all comes down to waste products in the body and how that impacts inflammation and prolonged inflammation because of these waste products. So that's a big part of what I do with people, is trying to figure out where we've been overwhelmed and try to give people tools, in this case many times nutrition and diet and herbs and synergists, things that have food as medicine. These things really influence inflammatory states. Movement therapy, chiropractic, acupuncture, massage therapy, all are aiding in removing the waste and flushing it out. And their body heals itself if you can do that.
Our bodies are amazing, aren't they?
Absolutely.
Well, let's talk to our friend Barb, please. So Barb, is it true as a massage therapist that you can feel my stress, you can feel my issues just by touching certain parts of my body? Is that true?
Yes. Yes, you can. Some are better than others at feeling the issues in the tissue, but yes, it collects and becomes sometimes hard and sometimes lumpy.
It's for real?
For real, yeah.
So what's lumpy? What is lumping in us?
Well, if you ever go over your skin, you'll feel like little bumps, and those are usually areas of collections of our toxins that aren't making it through because of the stressors that Dr. Andrew was talking about, that we start to lock up things and we're not eliminating stuff out of our system. That's where the massage and cranial sacral and lymphatic work come in.
Can you please explain those different modalities to me?
Cranial sacral work? Well, I worked with a Reiki master, and she asked me what the difference between cranial sacral and Reiki was. And I told her they have a plan, because they have a routine. When they're doing cranial sacral, we're actually working on the skull and the tailbone areas and reading the ebb and flow of our fluid that goes up and down our spine, our spinal fluid. We're trying to pick that up, and it will tell us what's going on, because there's little breaks in there that you can feel the better you get at the work. Some people are way better at it, and they go, that's all they ever do is cranial sacral work. And it helps you unwind and uncork from traumatic events and injuries, illnesses, things like that, that people don't think you could have done something when you were a kid. And it'll come out during this kind of therapy.
So are our aches and pains, are they in us maybe as a kid, and then they can come back out again?
Oh, yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
So when
especially
I fell off
traumatic.
The monkey bars?
Yes.
In third grade, I knew
yep.
there was something
yeah.
wrong. I knew that would come back and haunt me.
I had a client once who I kept telling him something was wrong with his shoulder, and he said it had never, nothing ever happened to it. And then he finally had to come in and admit it, that when he was 4 years old, he dislocated it multiple times during a 2-3-4 week period of time. And there was residue still in his shoulder from that, because it was never worked on.
Again, this is just fascinating to me, because our bodies, if we give them a chance, they will try to heal themselves. But
yes.
You three are working together, hoping that you can hit mind, body, soul. And
right. We'd like to educate everybody on how to take care of themselves, but also to bring it home and start with their children, because the younger we do get them, learning that these foods are what we should be eating, a lot of us would be in a whole different place right now.
Okay, well, let's talk about nutrition and how important that is. And I'm not going to tell you what I had over the weekend.
Yeah. Can we all get to be bad once in a while.
Okay, all right. Is it the normal things that we know we should be eating, more fruits and vegetables? Or what are you thinking? I want to be the best I can be, Barb.
Nutrition's not my top of the line thing. That's Dr. Andrew's
thing. Okay, well, Dr. Andrew, hop in here, please, because that is something I think you're right. It's kind of like if you don't ever give a puppy human food, they never beg at the table. So is that a good analogy?
Oh, boy.
I want that candy bar.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, our food has become candy, really. We have so much sugar. We kind of looked at things wrong for a long time. We thought that fat was the issue. We didn't realize that sugar was the culprit.
Okay,
is one of the first things we try to get out. Keeping your blood sugar stable is very important because, as you know, diabetes is such a big issue. Managing our blood sugars oftentimes manages our other hormones like cortisol. So keeping well fed, depending on where I meet some and where they're at. If they're in an inflamed state or if they're healthy, they have different needs. So there isn't one perfect diet for everyone.
Okay.
We have to assess and see what's going on. Where are our big problems? But we can become fanatics about food. Food is comforting. So I'm all about slow food movement. I love to cook with my family. We grow our own garden at the clinic. We're all about food. Food as medicine. It's either medicine or poison. And it's different for different people depending on what challenges you have. We can become allergic to ourselves because of food. The whole gut connection that we're understanding, boy, don't get me started. We could talk all day about it. At the end of the day, though, it's the most important topic, because we can influence our stress and our health with food. That's the one thing that's under our control. So if we can change our food when we're sick, we can do a lot to help a person. So it's not just about the optimum diet, because there isn't really one. It all depends more upon figuring out what our biggest challenge is.
What about that triangle? What is it, the pyramid, the food pyramid?
Are you referring to like the FDA food
yes.
pyramid?
Yes. Okay.
Well, you're trying to get me in trouble here?
I didn't know I was.
Oh,
but
well, I mean, it's widely disputed as not being very correct with regard to inflammation and inflammation. Basically, we have all these terms in functional medicine now where
yes.
we're understanding that influencing how our genes are expressed is how we need to look at food. It's information for our genes. And we look at things very differently when we do that. So compounds like colors in food called phytonutrients that have this influence on gene expression, kind of like sticky notes and paper clips. If you were to say, I just want to read this line, we're reading our genes in each cell up to a trillion times a day. We got 37 trillion cells. That's a big math. But there's a great opportunity to go wrong when we don't have the good things in place for reading our genes. So that's a mouthful. But food is information, and either is sending you in the right direction or wrong direction. And, you know, we could talk about it all day long, but I wouldn't ever say there's a perfect diet. I wouldn't say this is the diet to do. I think we go down the wrong road as soon as we do that.
You know, you mentioned the whole fat is bad, that whole thing. So are you saying like any fad diet or any time that there's been a big shift, that becomes more of something that's suspect?
Well, people are very much interested in trying to come up with a perfect diet, right? I mean, that's why there's so many fad diets, and there's a lot of money to be made, right? So, you know, everybody's jumping on a bandwagon, and if you can get your name on it and make it happen, you know, more power to you. But at the end of the day, I think we all know if you pay attention to how you feel after you ate something, that kind of tells you something. You know, so if you're eating a certain way and you're feeling horrible, pay attention to yourself. Pay attention. Learn to be your own doctor in so many ways. Sometimes it's more simple than it seems. But the biggest things I look at is whether or not someone is sleeping well, if they're eliminating waste, like pooping, right? We start talking about just like a vet would with an animal. They want to know how things are going there. It's going to tell you a lot to have to do a good line of questioning on the basics. And you're not going to heal if you don't eliminate waste. So these are usually the bigger topics that we focus on first. And once we get someone feeling better, then we relook at whether this food is right or wrong for you. So we go on a more basic diet typically to clean things up. So we're not having allergen potential. There's a lot of food allergens that are happening with people, but it's typically because the person is having an inflamed gut. And once you get that cleaned up, you may or may not have any of those allergens present anymore. That's how the body reacts to food. So that's a whole conversation in itself. But again, there's a lot to talk about with it, right?
No kidding. Nicole, of course, you are so great to tell me all about this partnership with everybody. And I really want to thank you for putting this together. This was so interesting. And again, explain how the three of you are working together, please.
Well, we all have different approaches, but I like to think of us as all roads lead to Rome. We're still, the ultimate goal is we're just looking at people living optimally, living healthily, living well. Barb has, she's been in the business for so, we've all been around for a while. She knows what she's doing. She knows how to help people when they approach her. Dr. Andrew is a ball. He's, you know, as you can tell right now, he's a wealth of knowledge. I've learned so much from him. I've also enjoyed the fact that he's let me in on some sessions working on people so that when I go work with them in the movement department, then we can have that conversation about what's going on and then how can I work forward with that. So I just really like the synergy that the three of us have. I like the fun that the three of us share. I like the knowledge base that we have. I'm really a lucky person to be involved with these nice folks.
Well, and we're very lucky that you came in today. Thank you so much. Our guests today, we want to thank Nicole DePalma, Dr. Andrew Lallier, and also Barb Odman. We thank you for your time today, and you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7. KDWA in Hastings.